What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the wonderful The Arsenio Buck Perspective Podcast, man. So good to be back, breaking out of the laziness and really learning about some things I've been reading in Jay Shetty's book, Think Like a Monk, and it's about the chariot. But I'm thinking about doing this on IG Live. So again, if you are not following me yet, make sure you tune into The Arsenio Buck Perspective IG. And you'll be able to find me very easily because I will be posting that sometime in the next couple of days. But nonetheless, here we go. And today's about the more emotional range of happiness. This is going to be a really good breakdown. First and foremost, I want to do a simple exercise with you. I want you to get out your journal sometime today, whenever you can, and write down the three happiest times of your life. The three happiest times of your life. And so, storytelling time before I break this down. Number one, and the most, and again, obviously, you know, my mother, you know, us getting a townhouse in July of 1999, that was an unbelievable moment. I really thought we did end up surging upward, especially getting rid of my shitty ass father at the time. And I think I was just up and over arms to even believe that, you know, we were living in a two-story place. Never had I ever imagined that that could have happened, you know, but that's not one of the happiest moments. I think it is what, yeah, of course, my childhood, Christmas days and all that. Plus that was a huge moment. But my number one would have to be the first one that came in my life. I guess we could say that as a part one. But the biggest one was the 2003 LVI Las Vegas Invitational Marching Band, when we received an excellent. And I still remember, man, I had jitters after our performance out there on the field at Las Vegas High School. And I just kept telling myself, man, I just felt like that was so good. We went out and we were just in sync. The synergy was there. But I didn't believe that we were going to break an excellent rating. I just thought it was impossible, given the fact that just probably 3 weeks prior, we got one of the lowest ratings ever. Like a 25 out of 100. It was, oh my goodness gracious, pure shit. Okay. And so when we come out and we do that, and I remember during the award ceremony, there was a build, kind of like when Man U versus QPR. And, you know, they ended up, QPR turned over the ball, you know, in the last match of the Premier League. And then, next, you know, they go running down the field, Man City, to score the winning goal with less than 36 seconds to go to win the Premier League title back in 2012. That buildup when everyone felt is the same buildup that I had at the LVI Las Vegas Invitational. And I still remember they were calling out. There were thousands, I'm talking tens of thousands in that damn stadium, no doubt. And I remember as little as we were, we had like 45 people in our band. There were other bands from California there that had 200. And so I remember the announcer called out our name and he said, Rancho High School receives, and he stopped. And I just knew that that moment was going to be a moment that sat with me forever. He said, excellent. And we erupted as if it was a 40,000 seat stadium. Everyone from Arizona, these bands from Arizona, California, Vegas, they turned around and they're like, why are they so happy? It's only an excellent. But it was the first excellent and probably the last excellent in the next 20 years that school had ever received. It was the greatest moment in my life. And for a week, I remember being in showers. I remember going to school and I just felt like I was on cloud nine. It was one of the greatest achievements of my life up until that point. 2005, fast forwarding. The first time I ever got first place in the 300 meter hurdles. Almost got disqualified because I ran across the finish line. And I lifted my hands in the air. My coach came up to me. He's like, Arsenio. He lifted his hands up and he shook his head horizontally. He was like, dude, you can't do that. I'm like, what? Why? No, that's taunting. And luckily I didn't get DQ, but to be honest with you, I don't even know if I did because I didn't even see myself on the score sheet, but I got first place in my heat. And I remember running up to a half Japanese, half Filipino girl that I loved at the time. Kizna was her name. And I hugged her and it was a beautiful moment. It truly absolutely was, man. And so I'm putting it lightly. But then, of course, when I landed in Australia and going on that 14 and a half hour flight and landing in Brisbane, looking around, seeing the way their phones were, their chairs were, the entire setup, Chinese Australian girl helping me with getting and taking a train to another terminal so that I could get on a plane, but I didn't have change and she gave me a couple of dollars, and being on the subway and just looking around and having the Japanese girl at my time, Satomi, as you guys may have heard years ago when I used to talk about it, you know, and she's just looking at me like, are you okay? And I'm just looking around like, my goodness gracious, I cannot believe I'm in another country. First time anyone in my family has ever traveled, especially to Australia. And these moments are amazing, you know? And what I want you to ask, now that the stories are over, first and foremost, what would yours be? And number two, the deeper question now, what do you mean those are the happiest moments in your life? By like the happiest, what do you mean by that? And you know, what people don't often realize is that we're limited in our emotional vocabulary and the emotional vocabulary we actually have about our lives. We don't know how to think beyond a few certain words, such as I'm sad, I'm happy, I feel good, going good, things are fine, I'm fine. We tend not to have that expression with emotional range that would help us understand what we felt. You know, and if I could ask you this, were those three times moments, whatever they may be, were they, let's say, the exact quality of emotion? They probably weren't the same emotion, right? At that moment, you probably were enthusiastic, grateful, connected. Me landing in Australia, it wasn't like, oh, it was the happiest moment of my life. No, fuck that. It was a celestial experience, one of my core desired feelings now. That 300 meter event, that was pure jubilance, as in when the South African Springboks rugby team ended up celebrating with Nelson Mandela in the crowd. Jubilance, you know, the overjoy, okay? We're going Stevie Wonder here. One of the greatest moments of my life when I jumped up and I looked over and there was another Mexican bandmate by the name of Randy swinging his shirt like a helicopter and just going, ooh, ooh, ooh. And everyone looking at us as if we were nuts. The announcer let us bask that in for however long we did. And I can't remember how long it was, but I know he was probably looking across the field like with a big smile on his face and saying, wow, look at that. You know, the pursuit of happiness, fuck that. That's overjoy. We're talking, that's pure ecstasy. You know, maybe your moment was about love, you know, or a massive achievement like me. Isn't that interesting though? We use happy for the huge umbrella term of positive emotions. But in reality, to be honest with you, the emotional language might be a hell of a lot more specific, like I just said. So when you look at this, okay, and because a lot of people, like, I remember, I was watching something about 2-3 years ago, I think. It was when, I don't know, for some reason, I must have been really bored, but I was watching about the Blackpink girls. I think you guys know about them. And I remember in one of the documentaries, I don't know where I saw this. This must have been a real quick clip on Netflix, probably about 2 years ago. But they did a documentary when Blackpink's little, you know, their rise. And I remember Lisa said, in simplicity, I just want to be happy. And to be honest with you, billions of people say the same thing. Some people just say, I just want to be happier. So, okay, but what does that mean? Does that mean I just want to get a divorce? Happiness can be a lot of different things. I would be so much happier if ... You always need to know what that is for yourself. The real emotion. Learn to dial it into very specific language. Maybe it might be your connection, your vibrancy, your aliveness. When you hit that 100, maybe that's what happiness is. But guess what? If I just ask you every day, how are you? And you just say, I'm fine. Well, that's your daily reality. A four-letter word. Fine. F-I-N-E. And if you're just fine, you're just comfortable. You need to get better at the quality of the emotional language that you have going in your everyday life. You know, and you also deserve to feel that range of emotions, right? Because guess what? I come from a family who said that same thing. You probably have through your those same friends who have that who bring that same bullshit ass energy. There have been a number of occasions where people, and I've said this on so many occasions, especially over this year, where people come to me with that weak ass energy. And I say, you get that weak ass energy out my face. Get that weak ass energy out of my goddamn face. Because it's so, you know, it's so subtle. And I come from a family of that non-communication. You know, that one blink can end up with a big argument with my brother. My mother's face of disgust every time she walked down those stairs and walked to the kitchen without saying anything to me. My sister's emotional body language when she was done on the computer and walked up the stairs with that drab look on her face. You know, my sister's gasps. She would always go, ah, 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 when she is not being paid attention to. And it just makes and made everybody feel that they were on edge. And that's what the reality was. It wasn't until I started diving into personal development and the law of attraction in 2007 when I realized, God damn, I'm living a fucking bland life. That bland life ended up like replicating itself back in 2012 when I finished coming back and on a fucking high horse. Boy, I was riding that motherfucking unicorn into the sunset. I was smacking my ass and everything. I said, woo! I just finished a one-year visa in Australia. I literally just came here to Thailand for 6 days. Met some of the most amazing people for 6 days. A layover in Japan for 6 hours. Met a wonderful girl who couldn't even speak English to me. And at the airport. And then spending so much time and meeting some of the most amazing people, beautiful nurse from Hokkaido, Japan, who I met randomly at a beach on the eastern side of Honolulu before I came back to the weak ass energy, weak ass family that I called a family. And I said, oh man, I can't do this anymore. You guys are just so unhappy. And I would bring that joy, which I preach about so many times. I would bring that joy every single goddamn day to my family. But they had the same bullshit over and over and over. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And there was never, ever any getting ahead. I always used to say to them, look at the bright side. Look at what's happening in our life right now. Look at what you're in control of. No. It just felt like it was never an option for them. See, I showed up regardless of them, and I was always authentically me, and that's what you're going to have to do. And it's going to challenge you to step outside your comfort zone. And it's going to take a hell of a lot of consciousness to rise up into joy. Well, I just don't feel like it today. I got it. I got it. But it's not you who doesn't feel like it. It's you who's not in control of the chariot. You are the chariot. And there are other emotions that you need to be in charge of. Because the moment you start feeling lazy is the moment you've slept at the helm. And now these horses, the seven deadly horsemen, or whatever you may call them, they are now in control. The pleasure, the alcoholism, the smoking cigarettes, the being lazy. It could be things as minute or as massive, macro, as you want them to be. You got to take control of those five horses. Oh, I don't want to do it. See, that's the horse that's trying to take control. Do you want to fall asleep at the helm? You're going to have to summon that energy. Focus yourself. allow that feeling, develop some spontaneity, and have that joyous mindset. See, no one probably showed you because everyone else is just walking zombies. Have you seen these people? You see them everywhere. Doesn't matter what country you're in. You see people who are just like, oh, I gotta go to work. They're not in control of their life. That's how I used to think of myself when I was younger. And guess what? It all started with me. It did. A happy day, a happy moment, a happy experience, whatever is it. And that experience and those experiences you had, those were the first thing that came to mind, because the jubilance, the sheer jubilance and overjoy and that ecstasy feeling I had in 2003, no pun intended, okay, not a crazy, to 2005, winning my first race, to land it in Australia, to get in here to Thailand, to get my first class. I could name a ridiculous amount of things that have happened over the years. But why can't we have those feelings more often? Because you're going to have to summon it right now. What do you feel right now is lacking right now in your happiness range? Maybe it's drive. Maybe it's motivation. You know, maybe you have a sense of contentment, but you're like, you know what, man, oh, I got to do a little bit more. Maybe you want to aim for that high, that reward, that achievement, that long effort, whatever, what's more important for you to feel on a routine basis, you got to go after that. And that's when the change will happen. So with that being said, write it down and write down how you're going to be able to summon more of those feelings that you experienced on those joyous days. I'm your host, as always, over and out.